Welcome back into the show. Robbie and Rex Road here this morning on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Ryan Porth in for Robbie Stanley. He will be back tomorrow alongside Joe Rex Road, talking all things Super Bowl, all things Titans, and a little bit of Preds this morning. And we are now joined by Corey Curtis of News 2. Corey, how are we doing this morning?
I'm delightful. How are you guys?
Doing just fine.
Good.
Corey, we had a passionate discussion in the 6 o'clock hour over Shane Bowen and Todd Downing being the coordinators for this Titans team, and wanted to get your take. Let's start with Shane Bowen, because I think that decision has drawn the ire of many Titans fans, including myself. The promotion of him from OLB coach to DC. How did you take the news Friday, and were you surprised?
No, wasn't surprised, really entertained by the angst from the fan base, to say the least. Not happy, to say the least. But we tried to do this some on Sports Extra last night, was rather than delve in good decision, bad decision, what does the decision mean? Well, it means that they don't think coaching was the problem, and they're pointing it at the roster. I mean, I'm sure they're going to say, the coaching needs to be better, but you don't give the guy the promotion. The title gets a raise, I'm assuming. You don't give the guy the title and the raise if you think he was what held the defense back last year. And so if he didn't hold the defense back last year, or the coaching didn't hold the defense back last year, I should say, then it's the players. And, look, they obviously had two massive whiffs in free agency that hurt the team. But we all know that there are a number of guys on that team that did not play up to the ability that we're used to seeing them. And, part of that could be because of the lack of a pass rush for certain. But, it puts all the pressure, on the personnel at this point. So it's on the players and on John Robinson. It points the finger that way. That's what that move does to me.
And what do you think about that as a comment on last season?
I think it's interesting. Because, look, we all know this was John Robinson's worst offseason. I mean, that is not like a hot take, okay? I mean, John Robinson, I'm sure, would be the first in line to say he has to have a better offseason than he had a year ago. But at the same time, like I said, Mike Vrabel's in on all these personnel moves because we always hear that they're in together every day talking about personnel. Vrabel was tied to the decision to bring in Clowney, and it didn't work. It's going to be interesting because, now Mike hitches his wagon to Shane. And look, I like Shane. I hope he does great. I don't have anything against the guy. But if it doesn't go well again, it's going to be interesting to see what moves they make to revamp the defense because they're in a bit of a cap situation. And so if they're going to really revamp this defense, they're going to have to make some hard moves. That's going to be interesting to see. And if it doesn't work this year, if they're 28th in the league again this year defensively, who does it fall on this next year? Because each year the blame game can take a different target, and it'll be interesting. I know who the fans would want to blame, that's for sure.
Corey Curtis of News 2 on with us here, Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. All right, let's shift to the offensive side of the ball. Todd Downing promoted from tight ends coach to offensive coordinator. I thought it was pretty predictable for them to promote from within. What do you make of Todd Downing, and how much stock do you put into his one season as a play caller in Oakland in 2017?
Well, he was the one guy on the offensive side of the ball that I targeted for them to elevate to offensive coordinator. And I kind of thought that when they hired him, that he could be a possible replacement, not only because he has called plays before, but, he's worked with tight ends. Done a good job. I mean, you have to say the tight end position has been well coached for the Titans. It's been well coached for years. But he's also worked with quarterbacks a lot. I mean, if you look back at his coaching resume, It's not just tight ends. He's worked with a lot of quarterbacks. And so I think that all those things go hand in hand. He's been here 2 years. So he's got to, I think he's got to have a good feel for, you know, what the Titans do, what Mike Vrabel wants to do. And Mike Vrabel wouldn't have elevated him if he didn't understand exactly what Mike Vrabel's expectations were to run this offense. So Todd Downing was the one to me that made the most sense. We'll see if it's the right call. We'll see if the personnel make it the right call. So we never know. But, you know, if everybody's back on offense, then, you know, you're not going to – look, Derrick Henry's probably not going to rush for 2,000 yards again, but you would think this would still be an offense that could put up some points again.
Derrick Henry, 1,700 yards. What's wrong with you, Todd Downing? I can see it. I can see it now. So, Corey, incredible off season here in the NFL, and they've had some good ones, just like last year. But
yeah.
What do you make of this Stafford trade to the Rams and the situation ahead with Deshaun Watson?
Well, I'll tell you what. Sean McVay is the total antithesis of the NFL from 10 years ago. Because remember, 10 years ago, we didn't have trades. I mean, they didn't happen. And Sean McVay sees something he wants, and he goes after it. And he doesn't really care how much it costs. I mean, I don't know if he's ever going to have a first-round pick again. But if he's got a quarterback who can win him the Super Bowl, if that's what he believes, that doesn't matter. And you're going to see that if Deshaun Watson gets traded, it's because the team understands that having a premier elite quarterback who is not dependent upon personnel is more valuable than two or three first-round picks. And I bring this up as a Chicago Bear fan who's watched his team struggle for 50, 60 years to find someone to play that position. There's no price too big to pay for it. Now, is Matt Stafford truly worth that price? He's never proven it. He's put up numbers. He's never won games. And I know there are people who debate whether that should be a quarterback stat or not, but we all know that elite quarterbacks tend to elevate teams. Now, it might take The Rock playing quarterback to elevate the Detroit Lions. So I don't know. But I give Sean McVay credit because allegedly first he went after Aaron Rodgers. And so I'm like, you go, you know, aim high, go get what you want. And then, you know, there were supposedly what Carolina and another team was in on Matt Stafford. And he said, I am going to go get him. And he got it done. Now it's on him again. You know, he deemed their problems personnel. Goff was the problem. The guy who's won the second most games over the last 4 years at quarterback. To me, Stafford's better than Goff. But we're going to find out, and I give him the credit for doing it. But you already hear the Texans now saying, you know, that they don't intend to trade Watson. That's their just way of saying you're going to have to pay a lot. You're going to have to pay a lot to get him. We're going to see how much a lot is and if anybody is truly willing to pay that price, because I don't think Deshaun Watson has any intention of taking another snap in Houston unless it's against them.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, Corey, I want to go back to something you just said. You said you've been watching 50, 60 years for the Bears to try to find a quarterback.
Yeah.
You're older than I realize. You've done an amazing job. You look like 38 on the air, man. That's impressive.
Joe, I just turned 50 this year, so I can say that 50 number.
Well, happy birthday. When was this?
December.
Oh, wow. Happy birthday. How do you feel? The big 5-0.
I feel old. When you walk in the office and there's a platter full of diapers and hemorrhoid cream waiting for you, it's a real welcome to the next half century.
Oh, that's outstanding. So is this Emily and Kayla's work then?
No, that was Cal.
Oh, yeah, okay. Cal. That makes sense. All
right.
They
embraced it, but that was Cal.
I'm glad we could bring this to the airways. That's awesome. Well, but on your point there, Corey, on Watson, I mean, seriously, what – because that's one of the first thoughts I had was Stafford is the Hall, and then you immediately think of Watson. I mean, like if you had to guess, What would mm-hmm. be – without – and I mean probably like a really good veteran player or two to go with the picks, but how big is this going to be?
It's going to be big. I mean, it's going to be at least two first-round picks. And then depending if there's a third or not will depend on how many more other picks go with it. So I could see like two ones, possibly two twos and a player. I mean, it's going to be a haul, but it's going to be whoever's the most willing to deal with the most. That's all. And, you know, there are benefits to this. Okay. And I know it's crazy to say because first-round picks are valuable unless you're the Titans, and then you let them all walk after 4 years. Was that not a veiled shot, was it? Deshaun Watson costs money, and players cost money, and first-round picks cost money. And so dealing some of these – and like the Rams, you know, they're up against the cap. Well, they don't have a first-round pick until, like, Sean McVay retires. So they don't have to worry about that first-round number now against their cap. Now, they've seemingly already spent it, but as they plan for the season, they don't have to accommodate that number. And if you're going to sink it into something, you know, one of the elite quarterbacks of the game is definitely the way to sink that into. So, you know, I think that can make it a little more palatable if you just look at the math of it. But again, I mean, how many, you know, rando receivers have we seen guys like Aaron Rodgers or even Deshaun Watson make look like star receivers? So, I mean, they help you out some in those regards. It's that, you know, rising tide raises all ships thing. You know, elite quarterbacks raise players. We saw Peyton Manning do it. We've seen Tom Brady do it. We've seen Aaron Rodgers do it. And we're seeing – I mean, what was the name of that receiver they brought off the pet practice squad who caught, like, 9 balls for, like, 110 yards? I don't even know, like, Kevin Hansen or something? I mean, it was staggering. But Deshaun Watson is special. And I will say, whoever gets him, whatever they price they pay, I don't think it's too big. And people are going to, you know, be staggered by it, I'm sure. But – as someone who's seen his team not solve that position and the struggles that go with it, if you solve that position, I mean, what do we all complain about with the Packers? Oh, well, they haven't given Aaron Rodgers what he needs. All he does is win 12 games every year and get to the NFC Championship. It hasn't mattered. It hasn't mattered. You get that guy, and I know you're going to say Deshaun Watson won like 4 games. Their problems are deeper than the roster. When your problems are in ownership, I mean, that thing's a mess. It's kind of like Detroit. I mean, Houston, until the McNair-Easterby thing gets worked out, they're going to be horrible. This is a dream come true for the Titans. And so if it's a stable team that gets them, they're going to be just fine.
Corey Curtis of News 2 on with us. Last thing for you, Corey. Where do you think Watson ends up?
It's a really, really good question. So we know that Carolina was in on Stafford. And if they're in on Stafford, I'm willing to bet they're going to be in on Watson. And, it, you know, again, if I'm Houston, it's more palatable for me to trade him over to the NFC. So I'm going to guess they're going to be a player. But I just look at Miami and the Jets as having the most capital to work with to make this move happen. And to me, I think if either of those teams does not use that capital to get him, I think they're missing the opportunity of a lifetime. And so I would point to the Jets or the Dolphins to be where he lands up. And I'll say if neither one of them gets it, they totally blew it.
Good stuff. Corey Curtis of News 2. You can catch him every Monday at 8 a.m. right here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Corey, enjoy Super Bowl week, and we'll see where this Deshaun Watson stuff goes this week.
Thanks, guys. Hey, I am paralysis by analysis on this game. Who is going to win?
The better team, the Chiefs.
Thanks, man.
No problem. By the way, Steve Fuller, underrated, Corey. Come on, let's give little Steve Fuller a little respect, huh?
Oh, God. This is Steve, and it's no wonder. I run like lightning. I pass like thunder.
Good stuff, Corey.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, Corey Curtis of News 2. There on the program. Coming up next, we address the Bowen and Downing stuff with Corey. We'll get to all of that up next, and we will update the poll question that we've had all morning long. That's all coming up next year on Robbie and Rex Road. Ryan Porth in for Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. It is ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back into the show. Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth in for Robbie Stanley this morning. He'll be back tomorrow alongside Joe Rex Road. And Joe, one thing that we've discussed a lot earlier in the show was the fact that the Titans have elevated both Todd Downing and Shane Bowen to be the coordinators for this team in 2021 and beyond. And Todd Downing being the OC, not a surprise to me. With as successful as the offense has been in the last few years, the last year and a half, I should say, ever since Ryan Tannehill took over as quarterback, I would have been surprised to see Mike Vrabel, who already is so my way or the highway and trusts his people, that he would have gone outside of the building to try to keep that offense to the same level that it's been at since Ryan Tannehill took over as quarterback. So not necessarily surprised, nor really irked by Todd Downing becoming OC, but I'm still a little ticked off about Shane Bowen becoming the defensive coordinator of this team. I understand that things may get better in a second season with him, and he officially has the title. Who knows what additional responsibilities he will now have behind closed doors in 2021 versus what truly went on in 2020. We heard Mike Vrabel say after the season that Shane basically did everything that a normal DC would have done. And in 2020, everything went downhill with this defense, almost in every statistical category, most notably yards allowed, rushing yards allowed, passing yards allowed, scoring defense, and third down defense all took major steps back in this season. I mean, the third down defense was the worst in NFL history. You had 19 sacks, and you were at a one sack per game pace until the last couple games when they were able to get at least a few.
Less than one per game, right?
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
I think it was just a tick low, tick below one sack per game. But regardless, it was a train wreck, the pass rush or lack thereof. And you had star players like Kevin Byard and Rashawn Evans look like shells of themselves. And everybody knew by about midseason that this team was a Super Bowl pretender because of that defense. And then they elevate Shane Bowen. I'm still ticked off 48 hours later or 72 hours later after that announcement.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. But I understand. I understand Titans fans being upset about it because it's a promotion after what is apparently not a good performance. Like you said, we don't know everything. I mean, I think you say, what are his additional responsibilities? I guess in theory, it should be fewer responsibilities. Now it's okay. This is your entire job. We have someone else now coaching the outside linebackers. So you focus in. This is your defense. And there's some things about that you could look at and say, okay, maybe with the title, with everyone understanding he's a coordinator, with no outside linebackers on his plate, that makes a difference. But like you said, it's more than just – I think it absolutely is personnel, then coaches, and when playing the blame game, we have that poll up.
We do.
But you pointed out some things that also speak to coaching. And I don't know that anyone was going to come in here after Dean Pease. It's not a good guy to follow. You don't want to follow a Dean Pease. And come in and just immediately pick up where he left off, especially with some of the guys they lost, but some of the regression from veterans, I think, is probably the most concerning part of it.
We have the poll question up at our Twitter account, at 1025 The Game. The poll question stating, or asking, I should say, in hindsight, who do you blame more for the Titans' defensive struggles in 2020? Coaches or players? And almost 200 votes in, coaches getting 63% of the vote and players 37%.
Wow. I'm surprised by that. I think this is a right after the move.
I think the results would have been just around these numbers in season. I really do. I mean, because fans were
Jimmy's
so
and
frustrated.
Joe's, people. Jimmy's and Joe's.
But people were so frustrated about the DC thing and the fact that there was no clarity on that all season long. I mean, even the media was getting frustrated with that. And I think the most frustrating part about this is Mike Vrabel stated after the season of, we watch the games, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, you know what? We do too, and this defense is horrible. It is pitiful. It is pathetic. It is embarrassing. And you take the guy who Mike says was basically doing it all, and you elevate him and promote him after what was an awful season. That's not to say the defense won't get better. It might. I don't know. But the optics of this just do not look good. And the fact that Vrabel – see, Elijah and I were texting about this last night. This comes across as last year being acceptable on the defensive front. Mm-hmm. Of him saying, you know what, Shane, you're now the DC. Like, Shane Bowen, from a results point of view, did not earn this. Right. He did not earn the DC title from a results standpoint, and that's what we go off of a lot.
Right. He got it from, obviously, from things we don't see. We don't see every day what he does. We don't see every call he makes in the booth, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of things. Obviously, a lot of information we don't know. This is also, to me, this is a results move in terms of when you just went 11-5 and won your division and you just went to the AFC title game the year before, you get to make moves like this, even though people are scratching their heads and wondering why. If they went 7-9 last year, I don't think this move happens. I think you go up to Amy Adams Strunk and maybe it's like, Mike, somebody new? But when you go 11-5, you have the latitude to still make moves like this.
But he shouldn't. Because the defense was so bad. If the defense was what it was in 2019 and you pair it with the offense in 2020, that's a 12-4 or 13-3 team. Mm-hmm. Up from 11-5, right?
I agree. So, if what changed? Was it just peace, or did other things change?
Other things did change, but not a ton. How do you explain the Kevin Byard and Rashawn Evans stuff? If Kevin Byard and Rashawn Evans were looking like the players that we know they have been or can be, then I don't think there's as much, at least from my point of view, of saying, okay, what truly went on behind the scenes here with the coordination or maybe lack thereof? Were the players confused of what was truly going on, of who's running this defense? It's hard to know.
Listen, there's no question that from a coaching perspective, by any measure, there was a step back from Dean Pease to what they did last year. And I thought it was a weird move to not name someone. I'm still going. In the poll, though, I'm clicking every time. I'm clicking players.
Are you mashing players like you mash the T on your keyboard?
I'm mashing players, absolutely.
Let's go to the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Kenston, who wants to weigh in on the coordinators. Kenston, welcome to Robbie and Rex Road.
Good morning, guys. Joey, you just had a great column on Athletic. I commented on that, and I'll share a lot of those comments with you guys over the air. I'm not mad about the defensive coordinator position or hire at all, simply for the same reasons Joe said. Jimmy's and Joe's over X's and O's. I looked at it and I compared. I said, fans, man, they're really giving us a bad name right now, because 2019, the first six games, everybody thought Arthur Smith was a bad coordinator. You make a quarterback position change, you upgrade the talent, and the rest is literally history. Last year, everybody wants the offensive line coach fired. 55 sacks given up. Mike Vrabel sticks with his guys. I think Mike Vrabel, his loyalty for his players and coaches is something that makes people love him. Mike knows when it's the players or the coaches, they stick with the offensive line coach. This year, with a worse offensive line on paper, they give up 30 less sacks. And people say, oh, not this offensive line coach to be the internal hire for offensive coordinator. The guy, Mike Vrabel, knows what he's doing. In 2018, Arakpo and Derek Morgan combined for 2.5 sacks. And I don't know, with the first year with Dean Pease and Mike Vrabel. And then you go to 2019, those guys are gone, but the defense jumps to 43 sacks. The defense plays much better. So it's hard to judge Shane Bowen when he has third-string pass rushers. Jonathan Joseph playing the majority of the snap, doesn't have your most athletic corner out there, and so much of that is changing. So I look at it, like you say, Jimmy's and Joe's. Robert Saleh, for example, real quick. Last year when he went to the Super Bowl, had a top-three defense. He's the hottest defensive coordinator out there. A lot of his guys get hurt this year. Their defense drops off, but he's still a defensive. He's still got a head coaching job because people knew he was a good coach. But he didn't have the players this year. So it's a similar situation with Shane Bowen. Let them get the players. Let their continuity continue. And the guys' schematics aren't bad, but it's hard to run it once again when you have third-string guys out there trying to get to the quarterback. Because it's essentially, what if this offense had all the playmakers but didn't have an offensive line? We wouldn't have had the offensive year we had. So give him better players. I think the fans will in time see that this guy knows how to call a defense. But it's always Jimmy's and Joe's over X's and O's. Love the show, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Kenston. I mean, brings up a fair point in comparison to Arthur Smith. I mean, six games in, we thought Arthur Smith was a horrible play caller.
Over his head.
In 2019.
Yep.
And then they make the switch from Mariota to Tannehill, and Arthur Smith now, you know, 20-some-odd games later, has a head coaching gig.
So Shane Bowen, head coach of the Chicago Bears, 2023. What do you think about that, Corey Curtis? Well, Kenston, hey, I like when we have – I mean, I like, you know, the other side of this, and I think he brings up some fair points there. I'd love to know – this is one of those situations where we have Twitter, we have polls. I'd love to know full, you know, percentage of the Titans fan base that is, you know, for or against this hire. I still think it's largely against, which I would totally understand. But I thought all of Kenson's points are fair. And I'm always going, you know, Mike Vrabel has a lot of catchphrases, got to coach better, got to play better, blah, blah, blah. It's not about players. It's not about plays. It's about players. That's a Vrabel saying that I subscribe to 100%.
I hear that, but a coach can have some sort of magic touch or difference.
Oh, no question.
On the product that we look at.
Otherwise, they wouldn't spend hours every day trying to out-scheme each other. Of course, it matters. But I'm just saying, if you're gonna rank them, I'm always ranking. And I just ranking last year's issues. It's much more on what they didn't have on the field because of a bad offseason. Again, including a first-round pick that could have helped the defense that instead went to a right tackle who may never play a meaningful down. You know, I'm pointing to all those things, including moving Casey maybe a year early on the salary dump, including not having Logan Ryan. I mean, there's a lot of things, but especially $22.5 million for nothing. All that stuff to me is more important than Shane Bowen.
Coming up next, we'll continue to get your reaction to the Bowen and Downing news, specifically Bowen. What do you think of the Titans promoting Shane Bowen to defensive coordinator on Friday? We'll get to that coming up next. And then at 8:45, we have Preds Pick to Click. It is your chance to win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. You can tune in at 8:45 as we give our players that we think will score a goal tonight for the Preds against the Tampa Bay Lightning. It is the second game of the two-game set between the Preds and the Bolts down in Tampa Bay. So that's coming up at 8:45 later this hour. That's all coming up on Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into the show, Robbie and Rexroad, on this Monday morning. Ryan Porth in for Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad, talking Titans coordinators. Shane Bowen elevated from OLB coach to defensive coordinator on Friday. Todd Downing elevated from tight ends coach to offensive coordinator on Friday. And we've been discussing specifically Bowen and the fact that he got elevated to defensive coordinator after essentially running the defense last year and essentially running the defense into the ground with the results in 2020 all taking a huge step back from what it was in 2019. We have a poll question up. In hindsight, who do you blame more for the Titans' defensive struggles in the 2020 season? And we've gotten some more votes in, Joe, and it's still 63% coaches and 37% players.
And some people have asked on there, you know, I'd like a third option of GM, which we talked about before the show. But, I mean, to me, that's the player side.
Or the lack of the necessary players to do the job.
Right. Exactly. And that's how I looked at that category, is not just blaming the players who are on the field, but blaming the overall situation of players, you know? Just like the situation of coaches is, you lost Dean Pease to retirement, which, of course, he's unretired again. You know, so the coaching situation, the playing situation. So if your vote is GM, then you hit the players button.
So Seth on Twitter says, I don't know if I blame either one of them, being the coaches or the players. I mean, how were we supposed to know Clowney would get hurt without having a sack? How are we supposed to know Adoree would miss most of the year? And how are we going to predict Jayon Brown's injury late?
Well, those are all fair points. And look, I can't sit here and say hindsight-wise, that I was all for them signing Clowney. I thought they needed to sign Clowney. I think that was the plan. That was part of the plan that included moving Casey. But if you're going to go through all the things you can't blame them on, I think you absolutely can blame them from the very start of even mentioning the name that Vic Beasley was a bad idea. And people said it in Atlanta, and people said it around the league, and apparently some people in the Titans organization maybe said it, and they signed him. And that ended up being terrible. So you have that, and again, we talked last segment. You also went OT in the first round when you so badly needed pass rush. You know, we'll see on Christian Fulton. That may end up, and that's not their fault that he gets hurt. I mean, there's some things that are out of your control, but you also expect some injuries every year. You got to have depth. You did have depth with David Long ready to step in, and I thought he did fine. You had depth with Imani Hooker ready to step in when Vaccaro got hurt, and you did fine. Some of these things you have to put the blame on John Robinson for how they turned out with that roster.
No doubt. Mark from Clarksville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, Bowen didn't deserve it, and we basically signed up for another bad defensive year. Anybody could have coached the defense last year and gotten those same results. Bowen better get fired if a repeat happens.
Yeah. So I that's a lot of people, that last sentence, are going to feel the exact same way. This anybody could have coached them stuff, you know. I mean, let's be realistic.
I mean, that's
here.
Like saying, you know, the you know, Alabama football team can beat the worst team in the NFL every year. Like,
yeah,
they'd get
annihilated.
They would get right. annihilated, and no, not anybody can coach defense in the NFL. But right. his point is well taken.
Yeah, but here's the thing is, yeah, I disagree with that completely. The opposite of that is true, which is why it's very hard to be good at these jobs. You know, it's very hard to be an effective coordinator. Not anybody can do it. That's why you don't give it to anybody, you know. And look, this is – I think some fans definitely look at Kenston's viewpoint. Like, how do you not trust Vrabel? Everybody's screaming about Arthur Smith, screaming about Keith Carter last year. I mean, how many times did Stillman fire Keith Carter last fall? Many times.
Not as much as Craig Aukerman, though.
That's right. He's still trying to fire him. But, you know, I mean, Vrabel stuck with these guys. They worked out. We'll see with Bowen. But it's not like Vrabel doesn't know what people are saying. I don't ever expect Vrabel to, like, make a decision based on, like, what fans and media want, which I wouldn't – I don't think that's a good way to be. You don't want to be Butch Jones. Clearly, Vrabel has a strong feeling about Shane Bowen. If you went through all last year, kind of gave him the tryout, and then elevates him. And he knew that people would be mad. The Titans also knew, by the way, because – you know, Friday, there's one leak. The leak is Downing. That leaks out right away, right? So that's out there. And then later in the day, it's like the press release of both of them. And, hey, everybody, Shane Bowen's hired too. Okay, hey, bye. Have a good weekend. I mean, classic news dump. I also love, like, when you go through, like, press releases, I love, all year with the Titans game notes, there's, like, page after page on their offense. It's amazing. And then there's, like, a little tiny line about a couple good defensive things. So, like the press release has, like, no Titans force, like, a lot of turnovers and fourth most points off turnovers in the NFL. And, like,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, wow, get excited then. They knew how this was going to be taken. Vrabel knew how this was going to be taken. I'm not saying he didn't care. I don't expect him to make decisions based on that. But certainly, if things go poorly next year, not only will people be like, fire Shane Bowen, you know, then it gets quickly, public opinion turning on Vrabel pretty quickly. And again, for a guy who's 31-21 with two playoff wins and a division title in his first 3 years, I mean, he's been awfully good, right, overall.
Yeah.
And yet people are upset about this because the defense was so hard to watch and so bad last season that it kind of took away from – what was an 11-5 really good year.
It did, and I hate it, but it did. It absolutely did. They won the AFC South, and honestly, I had very little hope going into that playoff game against Baltimore that this team would A, beat Baltimore, or B, go on a run because of that defense.
And the funny thing is, I mean, you were right to have the little hope, but the defense did their part in that game.
They did.
It's all very confusing.
Very confusing. How do you think the players reacted to this news Friday, or whenever they learned of this news.
I mean, I don't follow, like, I don't do Insta, you know. Was there any interesting? I'm sure we would have seen it if there was like something like, "Oh my God, Bowen, no way!" You know. I mean, I saw Darren Bates tweeted like, he's like, "What, Titans Twitter is pissed" or something like that. So, Darren Bates with the keen observation there.
Leave it to Darren Bates to be the only one to comment.
Yeah, I mean, I did see some like positive reaction from offensive players about Downing that I didn't necessarily see. Again, doesn't mean I didn't miss something. But, you know, look, I think all year the players defended Bowen and said, you know, Shane's doing a good job. They also, while talking about communication a lot, talking about, using the word coordination more than once as something that was lacking. So I'm sure if you had truth serum and we could get them on Zoom right now, you'd get a lot of, hey, I hope it works out, you know, and hopeful that get rid of OLB duties and he can do the job. And but also that they know it was a huge step back from Pease to what they had last year. Of course it was. No one would try to lie about that. I mean, no one can argue otherwise.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The first caller in will have a chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. That is coming up next segment. You pick a player to score a goal tonight. If that player scores, you win a prize pack. That is all brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, and that is coming up next here on Robbie and Rex Road. Ryan Porth in for Robbie Stanley this morning on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. It's that time on a Preds game day for Preds Pick to Click, presented by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Preds in Tampa Bay tonight to take on the Lightning, the defending champs. Close game on Saturday. The Preds made it close with a late comeback. They lose 4-3 after the Lightning went up 4-1 after two periods of play. So the Preds trying to get back at the Lightning tonight. Again, pregame at 5, face-off at 6. All the action heard on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And our listener participant in Preds Pick to Click is Mike. And we welcome Mike to the show now. Mike, welcome into Robbie and Rex Road.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, so you have a lot of pressure. The listeners are leading this competition between the listeners, Robbie, Joe, and myself in picking Preds players to score a goal. So, Mike, who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
Okay, so this is a guy who I swear has more calls on the play by Willie of almost goals. He's so close. He's almost there. He's due. Matt Duchene. It has to be Matt Duchene. The guy has had so much, like, almost like a dark cloud following him around. Today's the day. I think that tonight's game is going to be not a repeat, but it's going to get ugly, very similar, because I think there's a lot of bad blood that's going to be coming from this. So I see lots of power play opportunities for, again, both sides, which must bode well for us. But I'm going to go with Duchene. He's going to score on the power play. And he finally breaks that slump and hopefully can get started.
All right. Good pick, Mike. Matt Duchene. A lot of people, Joe, have been going with Matt Duchene.
Yes. It's a good pick. It just hasn't worked.
I mean, if you keep guessing Duchene, at some point you're going to get it right. Although he might only score goals on weekends, because we only do this on game day mornings when the show is live. So what if Matt Duchene scores all of his goals this season on weekends, on a Saturday or Sunday?
The Preds will take that. Well, they will take them on any day of the week at this point.
So Matt Duchene is Mike's pick. We don't have a pick from Robbie. So Elijah, by the end of this, we will come to you and you'll be making the pick for Robbie, sitting in for him.
Although if you get it, I'll protest that.
He can just thank me later.
It shouldn't count for Robbie.
Well, you took credit for Robbie's UCFK joke. So I think that would be a fair trade there.
It's fair.
So Joe.
Robbie wrote a good joke for me.
Yes, he did. Joe, Preds pick to click tonight against the Lightning. Who you got?
You failed to mention, by the way, it's 3 for the listeners, 2 for me, and 0 for you and Robbie.
Yes.
I want to make sure that I fully take advantage of this.
I just heard you loud and clear that Robbie and I have 0. 0!
You know, do I go? I mean, if you're giving the opportunity, do I just do the obvious and take Forsberg? Because, you know, he's the guy who's scoring. I'll tell you what. I'll go off that a little bit, but I'm not going to go full deep cut here. Give me Mikal Granlin. I like how he's playing, and I just feel like he's gonna get one through tonight. So give me Granlin. I feel good about him.
It's a little hard to know what the lines are going to look like tonight because John Hines was juggling them a lot Saturday night as that game went along, trying to find some offense. Granlin's a good pick. I'm going to say this guy is due. He's come close a few times. Eric Halla.
Okay.
The new guys have all scored. We've seen Cunnin score a couple. We've seen Nick Cousins score. Even Matthew Olivier got on the board. He's not a new guy, but you know, he's one of the newer faces that Preds fans are trying to get to know.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Eric Halla going off the board.
I like it.
Halla.
Two assists.
Eric Halla at your boy.
Nice.
So that
Eric
is
Eric Halla Famer.
That is, there you go. That was his nickname in Minnesota, apparently, according to Elliot Freeman.
Which one?
Eric Halla Famer.
Halla Famer. Okay.
So.
It wasn't Halla.
No, it should be.
Right.
All right. Elijah, who are you picking for Robbie as pick to click?
I'm going to get a little crazy here. This guy's also been close a couple times this year.
Hold on. Before you pick.
Yes.
Benning is out there.
He is.
Just throwing it out
so,
there, man.
So is Borowiecki.
So is Pecorine, right. I guess, or UC Saros. Yeah, the goalies.
Hey, Pekka scored last year. That's possible.
That's true.
A goalie, Saros.
A goalie goal on this competition here should be about 10 points, or just like you win the whole thing.
No, you win Preds pick to click if you pick a goalie and that goalie scores.
And that goalie scores, yeah. The odds are so low.
When my lead is huge later this year, I'm gonna do that one night.
And just mess around and, pick a goalie. But, yeah, I'm going to go with Ryan Johansson. Duchesne's already been taken. I'll go take another center who's gotten close to scoring this year. Has had a couple good looks from point-blank range and just hasn't been able to convert. Maybe, just maybe. He's due for one. So maybe tonight's the night in which Joey gets on the board.
He's certainly due for one. So no Arvidsson, no Forsberg, no Josi.
Man. I mean, no Forsberg is kind of – you know, it's kind of a problem.
I mean, with the way he started, he is kind of due to score. Forsberg.
Well, exactly. Like, Forsberg should always be picked. But I like that we have both of the $8 million goalless centers in this competition.
It's bound to happen.
Because they are
It's got to happen eventually.
Yeah. And I think Duchesne in particular. I mean, Duchesne, man. He was right there on the doorstep, you know. With the empty net, I mean, he was right there, and you saw him. He saw the close up of what he said afterward. And I mean, he was talking last week on the show about how it's getting to him. He needs one. He needs one to go in.
He does need to go in. And even if it's like an ugly one, if he's just standing in front of the net and it goes off his butt and it goes in, it counts.
Grimy goals are beautiful.
Just for him to see the puck go in the net, kind of like in the shootout. I have to think. Could maybe not open the floodgates for him because he's not a huge goal scorer anyway, but at least get him going from a production standpoint. So that was Preds Pick to Click presented by New Amsterdam Vodka. If Mike and his pick of
Matt Duchesne.
Froze for a minute.
We've forgotten about you already, man.
If Duchesne scores, then Mike wins a prize pack presented by New Amsterdam Vodka.
And Mike had a good point there. As chippy as things got Saturday, are we going to see a bunch of guys, a parade to the box tonight?
Well,
we may well see that.
Hopefully, if there is a parade to the box, that it's coincidental minors of 2 minutes roughing for each one and not them calling Matthew Olivier for roughing when he's the one with blood all over his visor.
Fair.
And jersey.
Yeah.
And the ice.
That was a little curious.
And then it's, hey, you, Olivier, you're the only one out of this whole skirmish that's going to the box.
Yeah.
The refs had a bad night Saturday night from a penalty calling standpoint, but it was bad both ways because there were some that the Lightning took early in that game that were like,
very ticky-tack.
Very ticky-tack.
Yeah.
There was another one. I think Fabro got a hold or something late in the first period, if I remember correctly, where it was like, come on. Really? That's not a penalty.
And that crew is going to be on high alert tonight.
No doubt about it. So, Preds, Lightning, tonight, pregame at 5, faceoff at 6. We'll get into all of this with Darren McFarland of the Predators Radio Network and Darren Donick and Chase. He is in the on-deck circle on Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app.